Saturday night, number two. That's how I have it written down, Friday one, Friday two. And we have turned a corner. We made some progress, I can see, by the way some of the men have been dressed. I'm going to suggest a 20-day meeting next time. Wonder what we could get done. Sent a picture to Brother Veach last night of Brother Brent, Brother Eddie, and I, all in suits. I said, I think we're on the verge of revival in San Antonio. And you know what he wrote back? He said, nah, not until you get Lendl and Bill in a tie. And I got some pictures to send him tonight from today. Amen. It is good to be saved. That is the understatement of the language right there. All right. Let me see what note we've got up here. Keep it nice and short. Oh. All right. Keep it nice. Yeah, somebody asked me to say, Mother Spurgeon, don't you have a sugar stick? And I thought about it and I said, I tried that once, but it turned out to be more stick than sugar. Amen. We got your roll, your reservations. Yes, your reservations are come on. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. That's the safest place in the house. Why? People come to church early so they can sit in the back. Amen. I'm going to shut up while I'm behind, before I get more behind. Ready? Help us out, Lord. You're not ready. Wrong song. I didn't even know. While walking down a memory lane of past so long ago, old Satan came right by my side, making me feel low. He brought up thoughts of hurt and pain when I had gone astray. He wanted to discourage me as I walked along my way. He said, you're undeserving, 'cause I know where you've been. I have a record of your life when you were bound by sin. I know your darkest secrets that you would never tell. What makes you think you don't deserve a place with me in hell? Well, I heard the old accuser, and this was my reply. You're right for all those things I've done. I sure deserve to die. My righteousness is filthy rags. My goodness is unclean. There's only one thing I can say to what you've said to me. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Victory was given me when I was born again. He washed my stained and sinful past and put new life within. No longer do I bear the mark that sin had brought my way. With happiness and peace of mind, praise God, I now can say, it's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. It's under the blood. Oh, praise his dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life has been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. I'm happy reminding him it's under the blood. Amen.
Amen.
When the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future.
Amen.
Revelation 20, verse 10. Thank you. Amen. All right. Let me give you a couple little one-liners here. Cowboys. Anybody? Cowboys. Cowboys Guide to Life. I'm sure none of you ever heard of any of these. I mean, never squat with your spurs on. Come on. All right. I just picked a couple. I just picked a couple out of here. Maybe. That'll be blessed to you. There are two theories to arguing with a woman. Neither one works. Don't worry about biting off more than you can chew. Your mouth is probably a whole lot bigger than you think. Amen. If you get to thinking you're a person of influence, try ordering somebody else's dog around. See how that goes for you. I like that. How about this? After eating an entire bull, a mountain lion felt so good he started roaring. He roared and roared and kept it up till a hunter came along and shot him. The moral of that story is, when you're full of bull, keep your mouth shut. Next one says here, it says, it doesn't take a genius to spot a goat in a flock of sheep. That'll preach. Good judgment comes from experience. This is Romans 5. Good judgment comes from experience. Experience comes from bad judgment. That's right. Tribulation worketh experience. All right. If you're riding ahead of the herd, you might want to take a look back every now and then. Make sure it's still there. when you're throwing your weight around, be ready to have it thrown around by somebody else. Amen. In other words, it's better to stay humble than to be brought down. Amen. Because everybody can be brought down. Amen. All right. Letting the cat out of the bag is a whole lot easier than putting it back in. That's cowboy wisdom. You're hearing it from, okay, we won't go there. The quickest way to double your money is to fold it over and put it back in your pocket. Amen. That's pretty good. Amen. And last thing on this list was never miss. Last one is never miss a good chance to shut up. So I'll shut up with that. Take your Bible tonight. Go to Colossians chapter 3. I was at the memorial service today. And I'm really glad that I was. I got to hear Lyndall Kincaid preach live and in color, Brother Riggs. And that was a blessing and a privilege to me. And everything, I don't have to tell you about it. I almost want to say this about it. God was there. God was there. Now, we can say that, and I understand the verses, but, I mean, it came to a point. Everything, Brother Brian did remarkably well. Yeah. Everyone did. Yeah. When the message was over and they started changing the pictures, remember, of Alyssa? And some of you have known her that whole time. I haven't. I met her like 6 years ago, and amen. And that's the Alyssa that I knew and had prayed for. But watching her as a child and everything, I mean, I started crying. I sat right there, and I don't even know, my wife noticed, but the tears were flowing. And they weren't flowing because of the hardship that she'd gone through. Amen. Or the family. That's not why. And there was tears to be shed in those. But for me, I was so ashamed of myself for everything I'd ever complained about in my entire life. Anything I'd ever, between my wife, my kids, a brother, sister, I was ashamed of myself. Because God's been good. God was there, and the conviction was there. And I'm so glad I was there, because I needed that reminder. I'm sure everybody there got something. But that's what I got. Amen? So thank you for inviting us and making it possible for us to be there. And I really appreciate it. Colossians chapter 3. It begins with this phrase. If ye then be risen with Christ. If indicates a conditional circumstance. Paul has written this epistle and he's this far into it. And he doesn't assume or take it for granted that everybody that's hearing what he's writing in this epistle is born again. He doesn't assume that. We don't assume that. We have we gather and people can look good and have good intentions, but it would be wrong to assume everybody's born again. A lot of good people need to be saved. A lot of church people seriously need to be born again. So Paul says that. He says, if he's gonna continue on and give this good advice to this Christian, this young church. But he says, if ye then be risen with Christ. Paul did not take it for granted that everybody was that was going to hear it preached. I don't take it for granted that everybody in here tonight or in here, any of these services, was saved. And I just want to say, that's okay. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, that's okay. But I'll tell you what, it is our heart's desire that you not leave that way. It is the Lord's desire who gave his only begotten Son, and that begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of himself, it said in Titus chapter 2, who gave himself for it, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. So if you're not saved, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I tried that. I went for that. Amen. I put, like Brother Lindell said appropriately today, I put my name in that whosoever slot, and I got saved. And you can do the same thing. And you're qualified. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 1 and 15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners. So there you go, pre-approved. Amen. Your application accepted. You just need to call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, the verse starts with these words, if ye then be risen with Christ. Now, he's talking to Christians. Again, not assuming everybody was, but the passage is to Christians. And so I want to preach. This is a 10-point message. I was going to lead like this. Has anybody ever got a 10-point, dear? And aren't you just proud of that? Well, I got a 10-point message. Amen. It's Saturday, you know. No. And I just want to say again, if you're not saved, the list that we're going to look at isn't for you. The list you need to be concerned with is much shorter. You need to be saved. And you can be saved. And if at any point during the message you raise your hand and say, Brother Dave, I'd like to be saved, I'll tell you what, Brother Bill will make sure somebody takes you to another room or however else you want to do it, or Miss Debbie, and show you how to be saved. You don't even have to wait. You don't have to wait. But if you are, I got some things for you out of the passage, right out of here, out of chapter 3. Don't panic. There's so much in there that we're going to work through it. But there's something for you tonight. Father, I do love you, and I thank you for grace. And I thank you that the grace is there for the Tebow family and for their church family and for everyone else. And Lord, the testimony of how they handled this trial is a great declaration of confidence in Jesus Christ. And I pray that that unavoidable truth would take root in someone that's not saved's heart. I pray that the gospel message that went out clearly today would find a place in the heart of someone that needs to really finally just turn to the truth of the glorious gospel and get saved. I am confident there will be fruit from this. Lord God, I pray that you bless them. And I pray also that you bless us tonight. Help me to just say what I believe you'd have said, and we will give you the honor and glory for it. And I can't get away from the truth of the fact that somebody in there might not be saved. I pray that you'd save them sooner than later. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I said, if ye then be risen with Christ, look what it says. Number one, seek. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Listen, if you're saved near tonight, if ye then be risen with Christ, if you're saved, you are not confined to this earth anymore. You're not. Amen. They spend billions of dollars, maybe trillions, I don't know, and they're exploring space. And buddy, you and I, if you're saved here tonight, you're already seated far beyond anywhere, any telescope can see, any satellite can go. We are no longer confined. It is time. Hey, listen, if you're saved tonight, we need to actively, it's a verb, right? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Amen. In other words, look up, man. I tell you what, I know some Christians, and they're down all the time, and some of them just need to look up once in a while. Amen. Seek those things. You've got a new home. Amen. It was preached on this afternoon. You got a new home. I've never lived in a mansion. I live in an RV. Amen. I'm happy. I'm happy to be living anywhere at all, knowing that I got my name in the book of life, knowing that I've got, hey, a new future that's going to go on forever. Amen. I tell you what, it shouldn't be so hard to seek those things which are above. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. My Bible said, between now and then, walk in newness of life. Say, well, what about Jesus Christ? What about the promises from the Word of God? But I tell you what, they'll get you through anything. If you believe them, if you let them. Amen. Seek those things. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. That's point number one. That wasn't so hard. Amen. That didn't take so long. Amen. Verse 2. Set. Yeah. Bible said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. It's pretty clear. I mean, I don't know what the NIV or the I don't care what perversion. I don't know how they could improve on that. It looks pretty clear to me. Amen. Set your affection. Again, set is a verb. Maybe you're impressed that I even know that. I mean, I wrote a book, and there's people who went up to my wife and said, you really wrote that, didn't you? If you read it, you know she didn't write it. Amen. People don't think I got the sense to put a comma in. I'm okay with that. I could care less. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what I learned in school. Set's a verb. Are you ready for some more? Verbs are, what kind of words? Help me out. Action words. That means to do what I'm talking about tonight. There's some effort required on your part. You know what's wrong with Christianity? They want everything to be like salvation. Jesus paid it all. Jesus did it all. Well, for getting saved, you trust in what He did. But if you're going to make any progress in the Christian life, there's some effort involved. Set. Set. It's a verb. Now, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. All right, here we are, confined to this flesh. And you and me both ought to be able to admit that our flesh does not want to set its affection on something it can't see. That takes faith. Amen. Okay, here's a quiz. Here's a quiz. School teachers, no, don't cheat. Here you go. Somebody help me out with this list. What is it? We're talking about see, taste, touch, smell, hear. Remember that from school? What were they? What did we call them? Five senses. Set your affection on things above. I want you to notice that your flesh is only interested in setting its affection on those five senses, all of them connected directly to the flesh. We live in the day and age of instant gratification, and it's pouring over into the church way more than it should. I'm glad not in the crowd I run with. I wouldn't be able to run very long in that crowd. What do you need faith for? I need it. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to have to work at it. Your flesh is not complicit, but if you're saved, you can, you ought to want to set your affection on things above. And I'll tell you what, anything you set your affection on here, here's what I found out. Once you achieve whatever it is, it's never going to be what you thought it was. And then you got to, wow, that's a bummer. I thought that new truck, I thought that new house, I thought that new rifle, I thought whatever women like, I don't know. But whatever it was, I thought that'd be. But it's not. And you got to then get something else. And it ain't going to satisfy you neither. But Jesus Christ will. Amen. I'm talking about there's things in heaven we can't even scratch the surface of what's prepared for us. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I have not seen nor you heard, neither have entered the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. I said this the other night, do you love God? I'm going to tell you what He's got going on for you and I is beyond our wildest imagination. Amen. Man, I tell you what, It'd be good. It'd be good for every one of us to make a point to keep this, put this stinking flesh in its place, and set our affection. And the brother talked about giving where your heart is. That's where your treasure is. So you can talk it all you want, but there's some tests that'll prove where your affection is. One thing, one of them might be where you are on Saturday night and Friday night. You know that where you are on Sunday morning, where you are when it's time to go to church, where it is when it's time to do something for God. There's some that just always seem to have excuses. Well, they need to set their affection on things above, because nothing, God never asked me to do anything that was really very difficult. There are things I didn't want to do, but once I identified who it was that didn't want to, remember, flesh, spirit, once I identified which one it was, I said, bless God, that stinking rascal doesn't have to win every time. Amen. If you're saved, it says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above. Let me tell you what, no one will ever appreciate your affection like the Lord. No one will ever return your affection like the Lord. You'll be doing yourself a favor. Set your affection. If you then be risen with Christ, if you're saved here tonight, set your affection on things in heaven, not on things on earth. All right, here we go now. We're going to get a little deep here. Verse 5. Look what it says. Not really. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. That was before. But if you're saved, if you're risen with Christ, then you're going to have to do some slaying. Mortify means to kill. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, if you're ever going to seek those things which are above, set your affection, something's got to die. And I'm here to tell you what it is. It's you. And we need to die to self. And that's the struggle, and that's the problem. Because we don't have to be saved. God has made it so easy. I think sometimes it might be a benefit. Strike this from the internet. It might be a benefit if we thought we could lose our salvation. But because we can't.
Amen.
Sometimes we take the goodness of God for granted. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, it's to our shame that the stinking flesh has as much power and control over a born again, eternally secure, Holy Spirit sealed believer that it does. Some things got to die, and it's you and me. Paul said this in Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul said this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you something. Are you crucified with Christ? Because what I see in a lot of Christians' lives, the only person that did any dying whatsoever was Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, Christians, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Good question. Let me ask you something. Ever get disgusted because it's so easy to live therein? Amen. I'm going to tell you why it is. It's because you're not dead to it. You're supposed to be. Judicially you are, but you're supposed to be dead to sin, but you're not. You're not. You know what our problem is? We don't hate it. We don't hate sin. God hates sin. But we don't. We don't. Amen. We kind of coincide with it. We think we can coexist with it. Like what Adam and Eve thought. You know, they're wrong. Amen. Yeah. We think we can explain away the destructiveness of it. Yeah, well, that was him, and I'm going to be the exception. No, you're going to be an illustration.
Yes.
We don't need any more illustrations.
Yeah.
Amen. You think you can handle sin, do you? I'm going to tell you something. Sin will be handling you.
Amen.
And thank God for His mercy. And if you survive it, He'll let you come back.
Amen.
But sin never left anybody better than it found them.
Amen.
Amen and amen.
Yeah.
Mortify. Therefore, your members. And tell you something now, we better learn. If you're going to mature as a Christian, you're going to have to seek, and you're going to have to slay that old man. If you're saved, that's what you should be doing. If you're not, I mean, that doesn't apply to you. Verse number eight. Now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What does that mean? That means some things need to stop. There's some things that need to stop. If you're saved, there's some things that need to stop. Some are real obvious. Some are just plain sin. Ungodly apparel is sin. Apparel that makes a man lust after a woman is sin. That's obvious. That's Bible. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. The devil's music is sin. It's not okay. All right? I'll tell you what. There are bad habits that some of us had, and they're sin. Amen. They won't keep you from getting saved. They won't keep you out of heaven if you are. But they'll keep you from ever having a testimony. They'll ever help anybody else. Sin is sin. Amen. And there's some things, listen, if you're saved, there are things I had to stop that I never even considered sinful. I mean, I had a list of stuff that was so bad. I mean, I got saved and I had such a long rap sheet. I'm talking about spiritually. And I'd work at things and I'd listen and I'd take notes and I'd go to the altar and I'd pray. And one by one, God would give me victory over this and victory over that and victory over this. And I was feeling good. And I had this list. And boy, after a year or so, I got to the end of the list and I said, glory to God, hallelujah, I did it. And God said, yeah, good job, here's another list. And he's been doing that for 20-some years, amen. Because the only place we arrived at was Oak Knoll. That's the only thing. Hey, we're not done until he says we're done. Amen. Between now and then, there's a battle, and we need to stop doing some things. It's not okay. Amen. Bible said, and I used the verse last night, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good. Well, I don't see it that way. You're showing you're not in your Bible is what you're doing when you say foolishness like that. Hebrews 5 says, by reason of use, you have your senses exercised that you may discern both good and evil. I've had Christians try to debate, well, that's just your opinion. There's a verse right there. Look at it. Rightly divided. The context is to a New Testament born again, saved by grace. Believer, that's not my opinion. Some things need to stop because you know they need to stop. And it doesn't matter who else is doing it. Amen. This is personal. Isn't this personal? We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So why do we default to, well, so-and-so does it, or so-and-so thinks that way? Since when did so-and-so come into the picture? They wasn't there when Jesus Christ saved you. It was between you and him. And he's not going to be there when you give an account. So then every man shall give an account of himself to God. Why do we use each other as excuses? There's always going to be somebody more carnal than you. There's always going to be somebody more spiritual. You need to get the blinders on and focus on Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're saved. If you then be risen with Christ, that's what I'm talking about. Something needs to stop because they don't edify. They don't edify. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth.
Amen.
Now let me ask you something. How much? Let how much? No. That means none, doesn't it? There's no wiggle room there. No corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And then, okay, well, listen, you know what the best way to figure out what the Bible means? Let Scripture define Scripture. So it finishes the definition of corrupt communication in verse 29 of Ephesians 4 by saying, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. Hey, listen, we're supposed to be building one another up. Now, outside of spiritually, what I know about, you know, the enemies, the spiritual enemies, what I see traveling around as the biggest enemy of the church is people. Tearing each other up. You know why? Because the easiest way to build yourself up is to push somebody else down. That's easier than actually, like, working at becoming more spiritual. Then you got to read the Bible. Then you got to be sent into the Holy Spirit. Then you got to yield yourself to God. Yeah, you can just cut to the chase and just put everybody else down. That needs to stop. That needs to stop. That's bad. That's a sin. That's not okay. I know you love Jesus, but there's some things that need to stop. Amen. Listen, it says in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Amen. We have liberty in Jesus Christ, but at no time does Paul ever let us think that it's okay to be a stumbling block to another Christian. We got those that are weak. We've got young Christians. We've got children. We've got young Christians. And we're supposed to be mindful of them. Always. Amen. There's some things that need to stop. All right, let's look at verse 10. Moving down the list here, see? Verse 10, it says, and have put on. Well, what's that mean? That means start. Amen. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, Baptist, bond. Where'd that come from? Yeah, I figured you'd amen that. I could probably think of a couple things to say you wouldn't like to amen. That'd be just as true. Caught you. I caught you. You think you caught me? I caught you. Amen. Bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Amen that.
Amen.
Christ is all in all.
Amen.
Amen. So there's some things that need to start. You know, a lot of people get saved and they get worried, they get hung up, or even are reluctant to get saved because they're worried about what they got to stop. Man, I was preaching up in upstate New York one time, and there's a girl, she'd been invited by some girls that went there. I think she worked with them. And these girls, spiritual girls, wanted their friend to hear the gospel. You could tell that she looked like a fish out of water. It was all new to her. She didn't look like she'd ever been in a church before. It was pretty obvious. Other than that, she seemed nice. She wasn't adversarial or anything. And I was preaching, and I gave the invitation Sunday morning, gave the invitation. You talk about somebody gripping the back of the pew, and she was like that. She knew she needed to respond. She didn't really, didn't know what to do and didn't do anything. And so and then her friends that cared about her, they people left, you know, go to the restaurant, you know. A lot of people got that in common. And then the girls, they come up and they right across the aisle. I was like right there, and they were right there. The three girls talking, and this girl, she is just standing there. She's standing right here. I'm standing right there. She's waiting on her friends, and I can read her mind. She's going, "Get me out of here." And I stood there, and I says, "Hey, honey," I says, "How are you doing?" "Oh, okay." I said, "Did you have a good time?" "Oh, yeah, well, kind of." She just was, you know, she was nice enough, but it was just. I says, "Honey, are you saved?" She said, "No." I said, "Was there anything I could answer about the message to make it clear?" She said, "No, it's pretty clear." And I said, "Wouldn't you want to get saved?" And she just hesitated. And she just like, the wheels are turning. And I said, "I know what you're thinking." She said, "You do?" I said, "Right now, what you're trying to figure out is what you have to give up to become a Christian." That's what they think. There's preconceived notions. I got to quit doing this. I got to quit going there. I got to start doing that. And that's not what salvation is all about at all. Salvation is about getting your sins forgiven. It's about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's things about spiritual growth that surely need to be added, but that's not what we're talking about. But people are afraid of what they have to give up. Let me tell you how to work that. Romans 12 and 21 says, "Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." What that tells you, okay, I'm sure it isn't, but It's valid. It's scriptural to replace what you stop. When I got saved, I mean, I had all this bad music, rock music, and I didn't give any of that stuff a thought. When I'm in jail and I hear I'm going to hell, I ain't thinking about music, and I'd be going to church, and somebody gave me a video, VHS, you know, never mind, Brent will tell you what that is later. And I took it home, and I watched it, and as a pastor in North Carolina did expose on rock music, and he talked about groups I knew, some of them I'd seen in concert, and he talked about symbolism and things that were mentioned, and bringing it, showing me how it was rooted in demonic, and I went, wow, I'd been there, I'd seen that, I knew that was true, and I didn't have to have a big debate. Once I saw where some of that came from, I went and got the whole collection and put it on eBay. No, I didn't. There wasn't any eBay back then. So what did you do with it? I smashed it. I didn't want someone else to get it. It wasn't good for me. And that was kind of fun, man, with the screwdriver and the albums. Those were big. Okay. And pulling the tapes out of the cassette. I've been saved longer than I thought. Amen. But it was fun, man. You get rid of it. And listen, I was part of a motorcycle gang brotherhood. I knew I couldn't hang around them. They didn't want to hang around me. They thought something happened. They think I got brainwashed. I got more than that washed. My Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amen. I didn't have any more friends, but, you know, even when I asked the preacher in jail, I says, hey, man, what do I do now? Everybody I know is a crook. He said, well, according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, God is going to have to give you some new friends. And I thought, okay, we'll see how that goes. I don't know, a month or so later, I got out of jail, went to church, walked in the back door of a little Baptist church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, and worried about the people were going to be more concerned about what I'd done, when in reality they were concerned about what I'd done with Jesus, and they were nice, and they were friendly, and may God started giving me new friends.
Amen.
Now I'm in evangelism 22 years, running coast to coast. I got more friends than I ever had before, and I know they're not perfect. Christians aren't perfect. If you ever wonder why, look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Amen. But I'm going to tell you what, man, this is the best crowd I ever run with.
Amen.
Amen. And so you need to replace. If it's bad music, replace it. If it's bad places you went, replace it with a good place like church.
Amen.
It's a doctrine of replacement. Don't leave a void. There's a Bible principle that the void will be filled with the wrong things. Amen. So change some things. Stop doing some things, but just don't sit there. Just start doing some other things and fill the void. Verse 15. Verse 15. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. Amen? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Not your education.
Right.
Not popular opinion. Not camp theology. Amen. God, not logic. You know, and some Christians, they're too smart for their own good. They don't got a lick of common sense. But they'll sit there. And you ever notice you can talk yourself into things that a year later, 5 years later, you think, oh boy, how could I have been so dumb? And don't tell me I'm the only one in the room that's ever had that problem. Amen. And God forbid, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Amen. Hey, it'd be the best thing you could ever do is let the peace of God rule in your heart.
Amen.
Brother Easter pounded the importance of that into us. Why? To develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. You need to discern. You need to understand that you have the ability to discern the Holy Spirit's guidance. He said, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. And I'm going to tell you what, He said this. So this idea might look good. Two things might both be good in their own right. What do you do? You don't do nothing until the peace of God rules in your heart. Say, what do you call that? Surrender. Surrender to wait on God until you got the peace of God. Covet it. Desire it. Pray for it. Seek it. But don't proceed without it. And then you'll know which way to go. Amen. That eliminates the choices. Let God do it. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so let me see. How many is that? Seek, set, slay, stop, start, surrender. Verse 16. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
I studied this morning and I told my wife, I said, you know, it says dwell. That means live there. Live there. There's a difference between dwelling and stopping by for coffee. There's a difference between your mother-in-law stopping in for dinner and moving in. Isn't there? Amen. I thought that'd get you. Let me tell you something. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. Amen. Not one ear, not the other. Amen. Hide it in your heart. Amen. It means let it live there. How do you do that? 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study.
Amen.
Study. We're talking about study. Surrender. Study. I know I'm amazed at all these S's too. I really did come up with this myself, I think. Or I got it. I got to be honest. I think I got it from Hugh Pyle. I knew Brother Pyle. I preached with him. I know you knew him. Study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So what you do with that Bible determines whether you not ought to be, whether you're approved unto God or whether or not you should be ashamed of yourself. You know, the people were burned at the stake 500 years ago, assembling the manuscripts that your Bible came from. And now we got them. We got them blue ones and red ones and green ones. And we got them. We give them as gifts. And we got them laying around. And we save our seat with one. And we got one for a coffee table ornament. And we got one stuffed in our glove box, you know, just in case. And the biggest thing is this. We're not reading it like we should.
Amen.
There's a little more than studying to show yourself approved than reading the proverb of the day or a psalm when you're going through a rough time. That's all fine. But if you're saved, if you then be risen with Christ, you ought to study. You ought to surrender and let the peace of God rule in your heart, and you ought to study. People dedicate their whole lives to learning things. Most of them are not going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity. You can become the world-leading authority on a variety of subjects, and it's going to end at the grave. But you can study that book. You can study that book. You can be a workman. You can study the Word of Truth and learn things that will help you, help your family. You can learn to be a workman that will help other people live forever. It has to do with what you do with that book. Verse 16 goes on and says, let me see. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Look what it says. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The next is sing. The next, if you're saved, you ought to sing. Amen. The kind of songs that move your heart, not your rear end.
Amen.
Now listen, I'm over there from where I live, you know, there's bluegrass. I've listened to bluegrass. I don't mind a toe tapper. That's one thing. That's okay. I'm not a legalist, but I'm going to tell you what, I've been in churches where I can detect the beat. Amen. Before the music ever starts, let me tell you something. Some of us know the devil's music when we hear it, and I don't care how many times you stick Jesus in there, it ain't godly. And that's what's wrong with most of this new music. Now, I'm not saying something's got to be written 100 years ago to be okay.
Right.
There's some stuff that is being written that is good, that is spirit-filled.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you what, that you better have some discernment because that's what we need to be sticking with. Psalm 100, verse 2 says this, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing. It shouldn't be hard. You got something to sing about if you're saved. Whether you realize it or not, amen, whether it feels like it or not. I quote Psalm 40 a lot of times when I give my testimony. It said, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry, brought me also out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Has he done that for you? Are you saved? Has he brought you out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay? The next verse said, and it says, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord. The old days it was born to be wild, but now it is well with my soul.
Amen.
We got something to sing about. You guys do a good job here. Of course, the cheerleader you got, I mean, you might as well just surrender and sing out, because he ain't going to put up with some of this mumbo-jumbo stuff. All right, moving along. How about verse 17? We are not everyone's favorite. It says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Hey. Say, what's this one? Submit. Amen. Submit. You got to submit to that. To do whatsoever you do. I understand you gather in Jesus' name, but I'm going to tell you what, that's a tall order that goes way beyond meeting here a couple times a week.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Whatsoever you got to, there's a gal in down by Fort Benning. She was at a church down there I used to preach at, and she had she was a preacher's wife, and she had and her husband had retired. He was I don't want to say old because, you know. But compared to some, anyway, she went blind. She went blind, and he was in the pastorate 30-some years. And Mrs. Woodard, her name is Mrs. Woodard, and Brother and Sister Woodard would come to church, and he would lead his wife. They are precious. And Brother Woodard got cancer and died. Said, what Miss Woodard do? Well, she called the pastor and said, I need a ride. Because she still came. And she come to church, and when you have a blind person, you go up to them, you square up in front of them, and you say hello, and they'll stick their hand out. And then, obviously, it's up to you to grasp their hand and say hello and greet them, right? That's not deep. And one time I walked in, she didn't know I was going to be there. Nobody was going to be there. I'd been there 2 years. And I said, hello, Mrs. Woodard. She said, oh, Brother Spurgeon, I'm so glad to see you. And I don't know what that means. Do I have a distinctive voice? I don't know. And I said, well, how you doing? She said, Brother Spurgeon, I'm just praising the Lord that God gave me another day to submit to Him.
Amen.
That's what she said. That's what she thought of when she opened her eyes and realized she was on this side of glory still. She went, well, praise the Lord. Who? That's high ground, buddy. But if you're saved, I'll tell you what, we do well to get a hold of that word, submission. Let me ask you, can you do all that you do? All that you do? In the name of the Lord Jesus? Amen. You have to be submitted to God to even think like that. Submission to God is the secret of a successful Christian life. And I'll tell you why. I've been preaching on problems and enemies and adversaries and everything else. And the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, submitting yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. There ain't nothing else that shows me in this Bible you can do that'll cause the devil to flee from you. So why not just stick with the one that works? Submit. Verse 24. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you what? Serve. Last of all, for you serve the Lord Christ. You know, Jesus said, you know, I was in the motorcycle gangs. We had a needle law. No needle law. By the time I came on the scene in 1975, and we was all dope heads and all that stuff, and it's not good. But nobody was allowed to use needle drugs. And our principle was this. No man can serve two masters. In other words, the club wanted to be the dominant factor in your life. And they know that anybody that gets a needle habit, that dope addiction will control their life, will dominate their life. And what I'm saying that, say this. The interesting thing is our reasoning for it is no man can serve two masters because dope will be your master if you let it.
Yeah.
What we didn't know, as far as I knew, not one of us knew where that came from or who said it. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus Christ, the one that said it. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. No man can serve two masters, but everybody is going to serve one. And I would invite you tonight to make sure that you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And not yourself.
Amen.
Not the God of this world. Amen. There's no greater, kinder, more merciful, compassionate master
Amen.
Than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If ye then be risen with Christ, you ought to serve Him. You ought to serve Him. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable. It's reasonable. Amen. Trying to be somebody you're not, bondage. Try to kick against the pricks is bondage. Try to find happiness in a world without God, with the Holy Spirit quenched in grief. That's bondage. Freedom comes from serving God. I like freedom. I'm an American. I like freedom. I'm a veteran. My dad's a veteran. My great-grandfather fought with Robert E. Lee in the war there. I don't know what to call it down here. I don't care. But I tell you what, I'm saying this. I like freedom. I found out what freedom was when I got saved. And I was behind bars. But I found freedom. Amen?
Amen.
And so what'd you do? I said, what can I do? That's scriptural too. I didn't know it at the time. Maybe you're saying, well, I'm saved and I see some of these things you're saying. But how do I serve God? Listen, how about asking Him? It's remarkable to me that the Apostle Paul, so early in his Christian experience, like minutes, I don't know. Acts chapter 9, verse 6, and it says, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to
Amen.
Do? Man, I know Christian men in church. They'll recite verses, all this. I know people have been in church for decades that have never asked the Lord that for the simple reason they're afraid
Amen.
Of what he might mess up in their plans. They made all their plans. They don't include living for God, serving God, going somewhere.
Amen.
Shame on you, man. You're missing Amen. Out on some things.
Amen.
God doesn't send everybody to Poland or Mexico or anywhere else. But you ought to be willing to go if He wanted you to. You ought to have the courage and confidence that He'd take care of you if you did. Isn't that right? I think it's right. So, things to do. I call this things to do if. And the text is, if you then be risen with Christ. So, if you're saved, give you some things to chew on tonight. Not a long message, but a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Now, if you're not saved, don't say it again. This list wasn't for you. Your list is much shorter. You need to get saved. You need to get this taken care of. Amen. You need to get your sins forgiven. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Amen. That's pretty clear. You don't have a guarantee you're going to make it home tonight.
Right.
I got plans for tomorrow. I got plans for Monday. Amen. I got plans for another meeting starting next week. But the Lord might change them plans, and He has my permission to. Not that He needs it. He doesn't need your permission to change your plans either. But whether He does or whether He doesn't, there's something you better take care of, and that is making sure when that last breath comes and it's coming, You better hope you're in the presence of the Lord and not in hell lifting up your eyes. There's only one way to get that thing settled, and He couldn't have. How could He have made it any easier? I got saved in a jail cell at 6 o'clock in the morning alone, 3 weeks after hearing one gospel message. But I was thinking about it. You know what I came up with? Spurgeon, you deserve to go to prison. And the Bible says, that preacher showed you, the Bible says hell's real. And I thought, great, because I know I deserve to go there too.
Yeah.
But if I don't have to?
Yeah.
I mean, if the Bible says I don't have to?
Yeah. Amen.
That'd be kind of... I've done a lot of foolish things.
Yeah.
That'd kind of top it off.
Yeah.
To go to hell?
Yeah.
With the debt paid? Making it easy, so easy.
Amen.
Belief. I couldn't have turned over a new leaf if I had to. I didn't even want to.
Right.
I'm glad
Eternal life is a gift. I'm glad somebody had the courage to tell me. I didn't like the message any more than you like me. Some of you. But I'll tell you what, I appreciate somebody telling me the truth.
Amen.
And it says, and you shall know the truth, and truth shall make you free.
Thank you, Lord.
And I'm free.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I don't envy anybody. I wouldn't trade places with anybody. I'm glad God put me in this crowd so we can work until this thing's done.
Amen.
If you're not saved, why don't you join us?
Yeah.
You'll never, you may be like me. You got a lot of regrets. Maybe you got a couple. I've never met a real Christian that regretted getting saved.
That's right.
Let's stand. I'm done. Things to do if...